Damodar has come today to hear the prayers of the Prachetas. And they will describe all his beautiful, wonderful qualities. Okay, any other benedictions that the Lord gave to the Prachetas? Yes, devotional service and go back to home, back to Godhead. Okay? Anything else? Is that it? Yes, he arranged their marriage with the daughter of the trees, or Kandu, sage Kandu. So these are the benedictions which the Lord gave to the Prachetas. Now here in this verse, the Lord is instructing them not to worry if they will be engaged in family life, because if they engage in devotional service and offer the results of their actions to the Lord, they will not be affected by the results of their karma. So which verses in Bhagavad Gita support this statement by the Lord? 927. Yak koroshi arashashi yajohasi rasiya. Yes. Yagyartat karmanonyata lokoyam karmavandana. So these verses support the Lord's instructions. So the important point in this verse is that Krishna is the enjoyer. And if you have this understanding, even if you're in grihastha life, then you will not be disturbed. Because grihastha life means that we are thinking we are the enjoyer. If you actually grihamedi life. But grihastha life is also an ashram. And the difference is that they will understand that Krishna is the enjoyer. And this is the difference between how the Prachetas would rule the world and how Pachinabari had ruled the world. Pachinabari was trying to amass pious credits so that he could enjoy material opulence. He didn't know better. So this was the karma mimamsa, or karma kanda philosophy. But even the most subtle pleasures in this world cannot compare to spiritual pleasure of ourself in relationship to Krishna. So here in this verse, it's described that two things that the Prachetas would do in their lives so that they would not be affected by the reactions. What are these two things? It may be also a state of mind, or it may be also an activity. Yes. Sankirtan. Offer the results of everything to Krishna. Also engaged in topics, right. Hearing constantly about Krishna and offering the results. Actually, there's three things. There's another thing, too. One more thing. They knew that Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer. So these three things. So in the purport, just before the second quote, this is in, I guess, paragraph 2. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sri Rupa Goswami says, Ihayas sahare dasye karmana manasagira nikilasa pevasta sirjiva mukta suchate. If one engages himself in service of the Lord, through his life, wealth, words, intelligence, and everything he possesses, he will always be liberated in any condition. Such a person is called Jivan Mukta, one who is liberated during his lifetime. So what are some examples of Jivan Mukta that we know of? Devotees. We heard about this, I think, even this year, about Jivan Mukta. I'm not sure. Jivan Mukta. Bhishma. Yes. Bhishma. Six Goswamis. Yudhisthira. So these Prachetas are going to be Jivan Mukta. They are Jivan Mukta. Not they're going to be, but they are Jivan Mukta. So here it says, devoid of Krishna consciousness, those who engage in material activities simply become more and more entangled in material bondage. They have to suffer and enjoy the actions and reactions of all activity. This Krishna conscious movement is therefore the greatest boon to humanity because it keeps one always engaged in Krishna's service. The devotees think of Krishna, act for Krishna, eat for Krishna, sleep for Krishna, and work for Krishna. So how do you sleep for Krishna? You dream about Krishna? Any other way? What's that? We take a snap. Preparing the body for the next day of service. Sleep for Krishna. Yes. Eat for Krishna. When I was in Bhakti Shastri course, when I was teaching Bhakti Shastri, then I asked the students which was their favorite of the 9 processes of devotional service. So when it came to Dadu's turn, he said prasadam eating. That was his favorite. Prasada bhojanam of the 9 processes. He eats for Krishna. That's what Dadu likes to do. Eat for Krishna. Thus everything is engaged in the service of Krishna. A total life in Krishna consciousness saves one from material contamination. Stated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami. Krishna bhajane jaha hoi anukul vishay balyatyage taha hoi bhul. If one is so expert, he can engage everything or dovetail everything in the service of the Lord. To give up the material world would be a great blunder. One should learn how to dovetail everything in the service of the Lord, for everything is connected to Krishna. That is the real purpose of life and secret of success. So Pushta Krishna was remembering Srila Prabhupada's instruction. Pushta Krishna was a sannyasi when Srila Prabhupada was here. And he was actually Prabhupada's personal servant at one point, his secretary. So he was concerned that we thoroughly understand the philosophy. He said during Prabhupada's lecture, he stressed studying the philosophy. And then he said to Pushta Krishna, he instructed him in how to be a sannyasi. So these were Prabhupada's instructions. Do as I am doing. Sometimes I'm managing, sometimes I'm preaching, sometimes I'm cooking, and sometimes I'm cleaning. And that way, whatever needs to be done, you do. That is sannyas. So he said, in this way he was teaching yukta vairagya. Real renunciation is to do whatever is required for the service of Krishna. It is not remaining aloof and maintaining some false posture of being only a preacher. So these were Prabhupada's instructions, how to be a sannyasi for Krishna. Very, very interesting. So, Bhrijan Prabhu had a nice comment on this verse, that utility is the principle, but for utility to actually be the principle that elevates us, purity must be the force. So we have this nice statement by Prabhupada, utility is the principle, purity is the force. Practicing, so in the name of utility, we shouldn't use things in our own service. So this is the point. And at the end of the purport, Prabhupada explains this point. If a devotee is not mature, the Supreme Lord will take away all his opulence. This principle is stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yasyaham anugrihinami harishe tattanam shanai. My first mercy shown to my devotee is to take away all his material opulence. Material opulence detrimental to devotional service is taken away by the Supreme Lord, whereas a person who is mature in devotional service is given all material facilities. So I think Bhrijan Prabhu brought up this point when he was speaking about Sudama Vipra, that why was he so poverty-stricken? Because he was obviously a pure devotee. Why should he suffer so much? Because devotional service actually... In Bhagavad Gita, it says, ananya chintayanto mam yejana payupasate, that the Lord gives everything you need. So how was it that he was so poverty-stricken? Yes. He was attached to being poor. He was averse, actually. He was averse to material enjoyment. So that's what... is that Jiva Goswami? Jiva Goswami. Yeah, I have actually 1081.7. I think it may be in there, in that purport. Although his name's not mentioned. So he said there's 2 kinds of renounced devotees. One is inimical to sense gratification and other is indifferent to it. The Supreme Lord does not force sense gratification upon the devotee who is extremely averse to worldly enjoyment. So he gives the example of Jadabharat. Jadabharat was an example of somebody who is averse. In his third birth. In his third birth he was averse. On the other hand, the Lord may give limitless wealth and power to a devotee who is neither repelled nor attracted by material things, such as Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj is the example of a very wealthy devotee of the Lord. Even Yudhisthira, even the Pandavas, they're examples. Of course, the Lord took it away, but then he gave everything to them. Oh, yes. So then, the next verse is a very important verse. If you look in folio, it's quoted hundreds of times by Srila Prabhupada, this verse 20. It's a very interesting and important verse because it describes Brahman realization for a devotee. As we were discussing yesterday a little bit about Brahman realization. So here, this verse will describe how the devotee experiences Brahman realization. Navyaya dhirdayaya kyo brahmaita bhamavaribi namuryanti nashochanti nahishyanti yatogataha. Always engaging in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all their activities. The all-knower, the supersoul within the heart of the devotee, makes everything increasingly fresh. This is known as the Brahman position by the advocates of the Absolute Truth. In such a liberated stage, Brahma-bhuta, one is never bewildered, nor does one lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahma-bhuta situation. So what's the difference between the Brahman realization of the impersonalist and the Brahman realization of the devotee? We hear some very similar things here. It seems like the Brahma advocates of the Absolute Truth he's not bewildered, does not lament, does not become jubilant. It sounds very much like the impersonalist would also experience that. Yes. Param Brahma. So he is. Okay, so the devotee, when he experiences Brahman realization, he experiences Krishna is the source of Brahman. What else does he experience that's different? Yes? Ananda is there, yes, with Paramatma, with the Supreme Lord. So here we get a glimpse of the exchange between the Supersoul and the devotee, that everything appears fresh and new. Yes, Mangopa. Brahman realization without Krishna is very insignificant. Yes. The happiness is insignificant. So this purport, Prabhupada explains it very nicely. A devotee is inspired by the Supersoul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. So this is the symptom of Brahman realization, that you get so much inspiration. Oh, I can do this for Krishna. I can do so many plans to do things for Krishna. You get inspired in a variety of ways. Devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel he is in a stagnant position. So if you feel like you're hackneyed, stereotyped, or stagnant, that means you haven't yet achieved this contact with the Supersoul, or else you've forgotten it, or else something, anyway. In the material world, if one engages in chanting a material name, he will feel tired after chanting a few times. However, one can chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day and night and never feel tired. As chanting is increased, it will come out new and fresh. Sri Rupa Goswami said, if he could somehow get millions of ears and tongues, then he could relish spiritual bliss by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Who else said that? Prithu Maharaj, that's the benediction he asked for, millions of years. There is really nothing uninspiring for a highly advanced devotee. Sometimes we hear devotees say, oh, I'm not inspired to do this or that, but everything's inspiring for a highly advanced devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, he is situated in everyone's heart. He helps the living entity forget and remember. By the grace of the Lord, the devotee gets inspiration. As Prabhupada quotes, Tesham Satata Yutanam. So we'll move to the end of the purport. Shri Jiva Goswami, in this connection, says, The supersoul plenary expansion of the personality of Godhead exists in everyone's heart, but in the heart of the devotee, he reveals himself as ever increasingly new. Being inspired by him, the devotee experiences increased transcendental bliss in the execution of his devotional service. So which verse in Bhagavad Gita supports this explanation of the difference between the Lord in the heart of the devotee, the Lord in the heart of the non-devotee? Not the exact difference, but yes. Oh yeah, okay, that's one. There's another one. Sarvasya-chaham vidhi-sannivishto. Brahma-bhuta-prasanatma madbhaktim labhate-param. One more. Matta parataram nanyat. There is nothing superior to me. Yes. Everything rests on me. Yes. Name dvesha stinapaya. Samoham sarvabhuteshu. Name dvesha stinapaya. Yes. 9:29. So these Bhagavad Gita is supporting this. Yamanacharya. There's a nice verse which is often quoted by Prabhupada and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yad avadhi mama cheta krishna padaravinda. This is navanavarasa dhaman yuditam mantum asit. That since I'm engaged in serving Krishna, I get newer and newer rasas, newer and newer enjoyments. So what's a verse that explains material happiness, material enjoyment? What's that? Bhogaishraya prasaktanam. Taya Bharita Chetisam. Yehi samspasaja boga dukkha yona evate. Dukkha yona, source of misery. Samhaba bhagavatam. Tasya vaheto prayateta kovido. And there's another one. Puna punas chavita charvanam. Chewing the chewed. So that's the difference. Prabhupada gives an example of a way we can test ourselves, that we are actually on this path of increasing devotional service. Prabhupada says in one lecture in London, 73, if during Mangalarti you feel laziness, that means I'm not yet spiritually advanced. And if you feel enthusiastic, oh, it's time for Mangalarti, let me hurry up and go, then that's a sign. This is, you can test yourself. So if you go to Jayapur, you see a lot of people who are very enthusiastic for going to Mangalarti. And they run in the streets and they say, Govinda, 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 and going on their way to Mangalarti. And during Radhastami recently, there was a video taken of the Bridge Basis at Radha Ballabha Temple. And in their enthusiasm, they were throwing turmeric and butter on each other. Enjoy from the birth of Srimati Radharani, throwing turmeric and butter, and they were having a huge kirtan, and they took one guy and they threw him into a huge vat of charanamrita. This was going on for 2 hours, evidently, that they were having this big celebration, very enthusiastic celebration of Radharani's appearance day. So yeah, if you watch it, it could be like one of these rock concerts where they put somebody on everyone's head and then they throw him. So, or they poured a whole barrel of charanamrita on the guy. Anyway, it happens in spiritual life as well. That people are very enthusiastic sometimes in spiritual life. So this is something that we can watch out for in our own inner spiritual life. Am I feeling enthusiasm? What are the six things that help devotional service? Utsaha nishchaya dharyat. Yes, atta karma parachana. That's nectar of instruction. Utsaha nishaya dharyat. So these help devotional service. And this verse explains how the Lord reciprocates with us when we actually put ourselves forward with enthusiasm. He gives us more enthusiasm. And everything, our vision changes. Everything looks quite different. I remember when I was a new devotee, my vision changed. When I walked up, because we were doing Harinam day and night, from morning 10 o'clock till evening 10 o'clock, just Harinam. And if you do that for months day after day, your vision changes. You see, everything looks just wonderful. Anyway, your vision changes. So verse 21. Yeah, I was a new bhaktin, and I couldn't. Someone asked me, "Are you feeling sick?" I said, "Well, I can't tell if it's if I'm sick or if it's ecstasy." That was how we were thinking in those days. We only slept like 4 hours, and we're out in the streets the whole night. Anyway, that's how it was. Constant Harinam. You forget about the material world. You forget. You don't even know if you're sick or you're what you are. You forget. So that's the power of the holy name. Verse 21. Now the Lord has finished His instructions and His benedictions. The great sage Maitreya said, after the personality of Godhead spoke thus, the Pachetas began to offer Him prayers. The Lord is the bestower of all success in life and is the supreme benefactor. He is also the supreme friend who takes away all miserable conditions experienced by a devotee. In a faltering voice, due to ecstasy, Pachetas began to offer prayers. They were purified by the presence of the Lord who is before them, face to face. So destroyer of all problems, Janardana. So what is, Prabhupada gives a nice analogy here in the purport to explain how the Prachetas became free from the modes of nature when the Lord appeared. So what is the Lord compared to here by Srila Prabhupada in the purport? The sun, yes, the sun. Material modes dissipated from them just as the darkness of night immediately dissipates when the sun rises. So now we're covered with the modes. So just imagine if the modes just go away like that when the sun rises. We're waiting for that day. Because the Lord appeared before them, naturally all the contaminations of the material qualities of Rajas and Tamas completely disappeared. Similarly, when an unalloyed devotee chants Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he is also purified of all material contamination because the name of the Lord and the Lord are identical. So this is how it can happen for us. We may not be able to have the Lord appear before us face to face, but we can chant Hare Krishna. We can try to chant without offenses. And then the holy name will appear like the sun in our heart and destroy all the contamination. So here is the process of becoming Brahma Bhuta, chanting Hare Krishna. And there's a nice purport, 6.12.15, where Prabhupada says, the soul has nothing to do with the modes. In the midst of the hurricane of the material world, everything changes very quickly. But if one remains silent and simply observes the actions and reactions of the hurricane, he is understood to be liberated. The real qualification of the liberated soul is that he remains Krishna conscious, undisturbed by the actions and reactions of the material energy. So what was the word for silence or such a devotee? Monam. And what's the devotee's name who practices monam? Or the
Muni.
The Muni practices monam. And real monam is to always chant Hare Krishna, speak about Krishna, Stita Dhir Muni, always be engaged in Krishna consciousness, and nothing will disturb you. Right. So now the next 21 verses will be the Prachetas prayers. From 22 to 27, they offer obeisances, and gradually they're going to ask for the supreme benediction. So let's see if they follow in the footsteps of their guru, Lord Shiva. Their prayers are similar to Lord Shiva's prayers. Verse 22. Namo namaklesha vinashanaya nirupita dara guna vayaya manavacha vega purochavaya sarakshamagaragata tane nama. The Prachetas spoke as follows. Dear Lord, you relieve all kinds of material distress. Your magnanimous transcendental qualities and holy name are all auspicious. Conclusion is already settled. You can go faster in the speed of mind and words. You cannot be perceived by material senses. We therefore offer you respectful obeisances again and again. So what is the example of the Lord going faster than the speed of mind and words? What is an example of that? Ramasamhita. Yes, for who does he go faster? Who's that? Yeah, for who? Yogis, yes. Pantastukoti Shatavatsara Sampragam. Yo, he's fast for the yogis. He's faster than the speed of mind and words, and the gyanis. Yogis and gyanis, because they're on that subtle level of mind. So, but he's faster. They cannot catch him with their mind. So let's see. What did you have to say? Tadure tadvantike. Okay, here's a really nice example. For the devotee, he's also faster than the speed of mind and words in the sense that when the devotee makes an offering to the Lord immediately comes from Vaikuntha and accepts the offering. So here's another example of how the Lord is fast.
And he was in Puri.
Yes.
Right. And then later, 1 year later, he described what she was cooking.
Yes, so this another example is Mother Sachi, who is in Bengal offering prasad to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, and he was coming every day for her offering. And she was thinking, and then he was eating it, and she saw it was the pot was empty or the plate was empty. So she went back and said, "Did I actually cook?" She looked in her pots. And then she cooked again because she said, "Oh, maybe I forgot to cook." So then when Lord Chaitanya met his mother, he told her, "Yes, I come every day to eat in your house." So in that sense, he's also faster than the mind. He's in Puri at the same time he's in Bengal eating his mother's cooking. Yes. Gajendra. Yes. Gajendra also, faster than the speed of mind and words. Okay. Cannot be perceived by material senses. So in Sanskrit, mano vacho vega puro javaya. Now Prabhupada explains in the purport, although he is faster than the mind and the senses, he can be perceived. So what is the way to perceive the Lord, although he's faster than the mind and the senses? What's that? Primanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. Yes, what else? Yes. Sevan mukhi jivaro, swayam eva suratira. That if you chant the holy name, that's another way. If you just chant, instantly, the Lord is here. He's so fast. He comes. What's that? Oh, yeah, jito jita. Stane stita, shudikatam, tanuvam, and up here. Yes. Acha. Oh, so, which verse is that? Yeah. So, yeah, I can't. Bhaktiyamam abhijanati. Okay. Bhaktiyamam abhijanati. Good. So in this way, we can also experience how the Lord is faster than the mind and the words every day when we simply chant Hare Krishna. Then we can understand, oh, the Lord is faster than the mind and the words. He's already come here. Just as soon as I chant, he's here. All the way from Vaikuntha.
It seems like the mind is faster than the Lord because the mind is going away.
She said, it seems like the mind's faster than the Lord because our mind goes away as soon as he comes. We escape.
Mind is escaping.
Mind is escaping. So, but no. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very special. There's a verse that says, Mayamrigam. You know that verse? Mayam. Anyway, he chases the conditioned souls. He chases them. Mayamrigam. I can't remember the rest of it. I just remember that the conditioned souls are just like deer chasing. 11th canto, yeah. Maybe 5th chapter. Vande. 11.5.34. Vande. Shrevsita Rajalakshmi. Yes. May we go? Daita Yepsita. Daita, because he's very merciful. So therefore he's chasing the conditioned souls. We don't want. 11.5.34. And that verse can be interpreted in three ways. As applied to Krishna, Lord Ram, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as applied to Lord Chaitanya, he chases the conditioned souls. Because Mayamrigam, it means the conditioned soul who's after Maya, the deer chasing. And then for Lord Ramchandra, it means he chased the deer, being merciful to Sita. And for Krishna, he was just like a plaything in the hands of Radharani, running all over Vrindavan. So three different meanings for Maya Mrigam. He was like a toy in the hands of Radharani. So anyway, this is the news, this wonderful news in Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya is actually chasing us, but although he's chasing us, he's so fast, we somehow escape his mercy. Okay, so Prabhupada at the end, at the very end of this purport, not the very end, at the end, we cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the speed of mind or words, but if we stick to devotional service, we can easily and quickly approach him. In other words, the Supreme Lord is attracted by devotional service, and he can approach us more swiftly than we can approach him with our mental speculation. The Lord has stated he is beyond the range of mental speculation and the speed of thought, yet he can be approached easily by his causeless mercy. Thus only by his causeless mercy can he be attained. Other methods will not be effective. And Lord Chaitanya is the actual incarnation of mercy, the mercy of the Lord. So Brija made a comment, we make the attempt, but it's the Lord who approaches us. It's not like we're approaching him or we're going towards him. He comes. We try. He hears our prayers and then he approaches us. So what are some verses that support the Lord is easily approached by devotion, but difficult to approach through mental speculation? Videsha durlabham, adurlabham atmabhakto. Yad para pankaja palasha vilasa bhaktya. Right, verse we have to learn. There's another one, 10. Shotoganas, bhajavasudevam. Shatoganas Bhajavasudevam. So there's another one, 10:14:29. Tapite deva parambhujadaya prasadale shanu grihite vihi janati tatam bhagavan mahimna nachanye ko pichiram vichinvan. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of your mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of personality. Those who speculate in order to understand you are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. So how to make approach easy? Difficult, of course, devotional service, but how can we make it easier to approach the Lord? There was some hint by Srila Prabhupada in a purport one day, I remember, but there's also other things we can do. Stop your speculation and karma. That would help a lot. Just tell your mind, no more. Does it work that way? From today, I will not do any more speculation or fruitive activities. No, we have to do devotional service. Okay, what's another way? Something easier than that. Association of devotees. Mm-hmm. I've got one here. Chant dance, take prasadam. Yes, that is our process. That is our process. Chant dance and take prasadam. Prabhupada gives us another hint in... Another one? Yes, the dust of the devotee's feet. Yeah, I don't know that verse. That's in CC. 5:12:12. Oh, yeah. Rahuganaitat tapaso nayachi. Ah, maha. Yeah, I can't remember. We'll put it in our list for next year. Huh. Acha. Mahiyasam pararajo nishekam. Okay, so here's another thing you can do, and it's something we all can do to make it easy. This is Anadi Lila, 8th chapter, verse 31. Chaitanya Nityanande Nahiyesha Vichar Namalaite Premaden Bahaya Shridhar. This is Krishnadas Kaviraj. If one only chants with some slight faith the holy names of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, very quickly he's cleansed of all offenses. And thus, as soon as he chants Hare Krishna, he feels the ecstasy of love for Godhead. So Prabhupada says, if you chant Hare Krishna, but your life is full of sinful activities, it'll be very difficult to achieve the platform of loving service. But in spite of being an offender, if you chant the holy names of Gaur Nityananda, you're very quickly freed from reactions to your offenses. This is Adi 8, Gaur Nityananda, Panchatapa Mahamantra. So, Adi 8, 31, one should first approach Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, worship Guru Gauranga, and then Radha Krishna. So this is Prabhupada's advice to us who want to make it easy in this age of Kali, full of difficulties. So verse 22, we heard about Klesha Vinashanaya, destroyer of distress. Udara Guna Vayaya, magnanimous qualities and names are auspicious. Mano Vicho Vega Puro Javaya, faster than the speed of mind. Sarvaksha Margaya Agatadhane, not perceivable by material senses. So we'll go to verse 23. Shiraya Shantaya Namaswanishtaya Manasya Pautam Vilasatayaya Namo Jagatstana Layatayeshu Krihitamaya Gunavigrahaya. Dear Lord, we beg to offer obeisances unto you. When the mind is fixed upon you, the world of duality, although a place for material enjoyment, appears meaningless. Your transcendental form is full of transcendental bliss. We therefore offer our respects unto you. Your appearances as Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva are meant for the purpose of creating, maintaining, and annihilating this cosmic manifestation. So, Shuddhaya, Shantaya, unadulterated, most peaceful. So here in the verse, it is explained that this world of duality is meaningless. How is it meaningless? Why do we say? Somebody may argue, well, I don't think it's meaningless. I think it's full of meaning, yes. Okay, we heard from Narada Muni that everything that is within past, present, and future is just like a dream. And this is the secret of the Vedas. Everything within past, present, and future is a dream. Yes.
And you watch a film.
When we watch a film, okay, when we watch the film, something's happening, but it's not meaningful. So similarly, in this life, when we watch the film of life, it's not really meaningful, is it? Yes. Bina prakriti rashtada, separated energy. Bina. It's separated. Okay, now we're getting, it's not simply meaningless, but it's separated. It's separated from Krishna. We can't see Krishna. That's better. Yes.
Our perception of everything is based on misconception, on illusion, that we are the enjoyer.
Right. Our perception of this world is based on the misconception that we are the enjoyer. So therefore it's meaningless in that sense. That we are the enjoyer. So how is it meaningful? It's meaningless. Meaningless if you want to enjoy. So it's meaningless. The world has no meaning, and therefore we agree with the voidists in that sense. The voidists and impersonalists, we agree that it's meaningless if you're trying to enjoy in this world. There's no enjoyment. But it can be meaningful. For the devotee, it's meaningful. If you're connected to Krishna, yes, then it's meaningful. And that's the understanding of the verse. Yata taror mula nishe chanena. Yes. Jagaitam nimeshena chikshusha parisham. It's all meaningless without Krishna in your separation. Yes.
If you put one before so many jivas, then
very good.
If you put Krishna,
oh, Very nice example. So everything in this world is zero, you're saying. Everything, all the great skyscrapers and scientists and philosophers, it's all zero. But if you put one in front, it becomes very valuable. And that one is Krishna. Yes. Nothing is disconnected. Yeah, nothing is disconnected from Krishna. Only one thing is disconnected, and that's our mind that we're thinking. We're thinking we're disconnected. Yes. But it appears that it's disconnected, but it's not disconnected. Vitayatam yat patiyeta na patiyeta chatmani. And if you think anything is disconnected, then that's maya. So the problem is that we think everything is disconnected. So therefore, we're disconnected. We appear to be disconnected. Everything appears to be disconnected, and including us. So this is the big problem, that our vision is wrong. We have this misconception, as Adi Purusha Prabhu said. So therefore, meaningless. Many, many philosophers, they say everything is meaningless, meaningless in this world. What's that? Oh, when you, like in a dream, you see your head cut off. Yes, that's how it is. So let's see, paragraph 1, Prabhupada says, a pure devotee whose mind is always engaged in the service of the Lord can certainly appreciate the impermanence of this material world. So here's the answer by Srila Prabhupada. Why is it meaningless? Because it's impermanent. It's temporary. Although such a devotee may be engaged in executing material activities, this stage is called anasakti. As explained by Śrīla Goswāmī, anāsaktasya viṣayān yathārtham upayunjatā. The devotee is always unattached to material activities because in the liberated stage, his mind is always fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. This material world is called dvaita, the world of duality. A devotee knows very well everything within this world is but a manifestation of the Supreme Lord's energy. So you take these two sentences together. It's quite interesting. One is, it's a world of duality. The other is, but everything is just the Lord's energy. So two different visions. It's a world of duality. Everyone sees duality. But if we use it in Krishna's service, then it is not. So there is a prayer by Narottam Das Thakur where he asks Lord Nityananda that please be merciful to me, because if I get your mercy, then I will understand that all the enjoyment in this world is insignificant. As Gauranga Bolite Hobe. He says, Arkobe nitai chan koruna hoibe, sangsara vashanamor kobe tucho hobe. That when will these things appear insignificant to me, then I will actually see Vrindavan. So verse 24, more qualities. Namo Vishuddha Sattvaya Haraye Hari Medase Vasudeva Krishnaya Bhavave Sarasatvatam. Dear Lord, we offer respectful obeisances unto you because your existence is completely independent of all material influences. Your Lordship always takes away the devotee's miserable conditions, for your brain plans how to do so. You live everywhere as Paramatma, therefore you are known as Vasudeva. You also accept Vasudeva as your father, and you are celebrated by the name Krishna. You are so kind that you always increase the influence of all kinds of devotees. So how are they following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva here in this prayer? Sattvam Vishuddham. Vasudeva Shabdita. I don't know if Lord Shiva said that, but anyway, it's true. Sattvat Vishuddham. Namo Vishuddha Sattvaya. Anything else? That was a nice one. There's also Vasudevaya Krishnaya, names of Krishna, which also Lord Shiva mentioned. Vasudeva, he mentioned Krishna. So they've kind of summarized it in two names. They didn't say Sankarsana Nirmuta Pradumna, but they said Vasudeva Krishna. So they got the essential names, which are Lord, the names of Lord Krishna. So paragraph 1. Prabhupada explains the difference between Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. And what is that difference in Sanskrit? Krita Maya Guna Vigrahaya. That's not exactly the difference. There's another word that shows what is the difference between Lord Vishnu and the other two, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Vishuddha-sattva, yes. Lord Vishnu does not accept a material body. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva accept material bodies, and that's the difference. So we wonder, what is the difference? Now we can see. We know, we heard about the oneness between Lord Shiva. Now we see what is the difference. Lord Vishnu is Vishuddha-sattva, and Brahma and Shiva, they accept material bodies. So in purport, paragraph 4, talks about Vasudevaya Krishnaya. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all Vishnu expansions are his plenary portions, or portions of his plenary portions. And at the end of that paragraph, Krishna is known as Vasudev because he appeared in this material world as the son of Vasudev. Similarly, he is known as Devaki Nandana, Yashoda Nandana, Nanda Nandana, and so on. So when I heard this purport of Prabhupada, I remembered the prayers of Queen Kunti, which she says, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandana Yacha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Prabhupada was paraphrasing. And of course, in the next verse, it will be very similar to Queen Kunti's prayer. So in paragraph 5, he talks about increasing the influence of his devotees. What is that in Sanskrit? Increasing the influence of his devotees. It's not up, it's up on the board, but you have to turn the page. Prabhave sarva sattvatam. Yes, what's an example of the Lord increasing the... Yes? When he asked Shiva to take poison, okay, he increased the power.
Another one is Arjuna.
Arjuna. Another one is Hanuman. And another one is Srila Prabhupada. And Prahlad Maharaj. How was that? Oh, yeah. Yes. Right. So many difficulties. Actually, his father said, why don't you die? Why can't I kill you? Where do you get this power from? His father couldn't believe it. Another example of Prahlad, how he increased his influence, is when Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared and all the demigods tried to pacify him, but nobody could pacify him. So then they pushed Prahlad forward. Prahlad said, what can I say? You're all demigods, I'm born in a demon family. How can I pacify? But actually he was the one who could pacify the Lord. So then the last paragraph describes the word Hari, one who takes away all miserable conditions. Hari, may to say, means the Lord is always planning ways to deliver a conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. Isn't that nice? He's thinking, always thinking, how can I get my devotee back to me? He makes his plans, Prabhupada says. Hari made us at the end of the purport. No, not at the end, before the quote. Since the Lord delivers all conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya, he is known as Harimedhas. In the list of incarnations, Krishna is described as the supreme and original personality of Godhead. Any other meanings of Hari in Sanskrit? He cuts the attachment. Hare, one who takes away everything. Mrityu Savaharascham. Takes away everything. Any other meanings of the word Hari? Yes. One who takes away suffering. Yes, that's here in this verse. Any other meanings? I've got two more. And they're from a purport. Yes.
Lion.
What's that?
Lion.
Lion, okay. Lion. I've got two more. And they're from a purport in the first canto, 7th chapter, the Atmarama verse. And those two meanings, that he vanquishes everything inauspicious, and another meaning is he takes away the mind of the devotee by awarding pure transcendental love. So it's not that he just takes away everything and gives nothing. He takes away everything and he gives us pure devotional service. He takes away our mind. Takes away our mind. And that was a problem with the gopis, that he would take away their mind. Their mind would go with him. In the forest, it wouldn't stay with them. He would take their mind with him. So they had this separation between the mind and the body. So they couldn't do their household work. So this is Hari. Hari. 25. Nama Kamalana Paya, Nama Kamala Maline, Nama Kamala Paraya, Namaste Kamalekshana. Dear Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you, because from your abdomen sprouts the lotus flower, the origin of all living entities. You're always decorated with a lotus garland, and your feet resemble the lotus flower with all its fragrance. Your eyes are also like the petals of the lotus flower. Therefore, we always offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So Kamala Nabhaya, how does he have a lotus flower abdomen? What's that? Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, yes. The lotus flower comes from, not only does he have a lotus abdomen, the lotus comes from his abdomen. It's Kamala Nabhaya. So in the Queen Kunti's prayers, Nama Pankachanabhaya, Nama Pankachamaline, Nama Pankachanetraya, Namaste Pakajangraye. Very similar. The only change is the word lotus is changed from Kamala, from Pankaja to Kamala. Yes. Kamala Netraya, Pakajangraye. Yes, here is. Yeah, she starts at the waist. But so do the Prachetas, it appears. They both start at the waist here. Prachetas started with Kamala Nabhaya again, just like Queen Kunti. Interesting. Yes, she did. She did. Pankajankraye. Pankajankraye. That's you have lotuses on your engraved on your feet. That is, whose feet are engraved with lotuses?
She stopped with the feet.
Oh, she stopped. Okay. I see. I see what he's saying. Yes. No, but she Netraya is there too. Just different order is different, yeah. She goes from the navel to the garland to the eyes to the feet. And they go from the navel to the garland to the feet to the eyes. Because they're, yeah, interesting, huh? They go down to the feet. Then they go up to the face. Yeah. So, yes, they're more following Lord Shiva than Kunti. Because Kunti was mother, like mother. So she could go up to the face and then to the feet. But they were... They're following Lord Shiva, yeah. Yes. Well, they started in the middle, actually. Nabhaya. And then they went up. They just started in the middle, then they went down to the feet, and then they went up to the eyes. It's interesting, the order here. Different relationships. So according to your relationship, then that's how you offer prayers. So we should all start at the feet. We should not think that we are higher than that. Verse 26. We will continue on this line. Oh, do we change it? Yeah, let's change it. Let's change the flip chart here. So 24, Hari made se Vasudevaya Prabhave Sarvasatvatam. And then 25, Kamala Nabhaya, Kamala Maline, Kamala Padaya, Kamala Ikshana. Verse 26. Nama Kamala Kenjaka Pishanga Malavasa Sarabhuta Nivasaya Namo Yungishmahi Sakshine. Dear Lord, the garment you have put on is yellowish in color, like the saffron of a lotus flower, but it is not made of anything material. Since you live in everyone's heart, you are the direct witness of all activities of all living entities. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you again and again. So, Virajan Prabhu asks a question here in this verse, which I thought was interesting, that the Lord is witnessing everything we do. So, is that reassuring for us, or is that depressing for us, that he sees everything that we do? That was his question. Anyway, from verses 27 now to 32, is going to be like preliminary to what they're actually going to ask for. And they will explain why the Lord comes The Lord comes to deliver all the non-devotees, so therefore he should deliver them. This is their prayer. Now we will see the humility of the Prachetas in these verses. From 27 to 32. 22 to 27 was like offering obeisances. And now it's going to be like preliminary, that they're begging for deliverance indirectly. Rupam bhagvata yeta reshesha klesha sanshayam abhishkritam na klishtanam kimanyad anukampitam. Dear Lord, we conditioned souls are always covered by ignorance in the bodily conception of life. We therefore always prefer the miserable conditions of material existence. To deliver us from these miserable conditions, you have advented yourself in this transcendental form. This is evidence of your unlimited causeless mercy upon those of us who are suffering in this way. What then to speak of the devotees to whom you are always so favorably disposed? So unlimited causeless mercy. Actually, oh yeah, okay, let's flip the flip chart again. We got Sarvabhuta Nivasaya, verse 26, living in everyone's heart. So they're saying you know everything, and we are definitely conditioned souls. So therefore, please deliver us. So here is, we can understand what is the mood of the Prachetas. Although they're face to face with the Lord, and all their ignorance is gone, they are saying, we are conditioned souls in the mode of ignorance. How can they say that when all the ignorance is dissipated? So this is the mood of the devotees. And actually, Krishna wants to take us back to Godhead faster than we want to go. But because of ignorance, we like to stay here. We prefer the miserable conditions of material existence, it says here. So they're representing the conditioned souls. This is how the people in this world think, no, we'll just make it a nice place to live. We can make some nice arrangement, and we can stay here. We prefer this, these miserable conditions, because of ignorance. So at the end of this verse, in the next verse, at the end of this purport, Prabhupada will glorify the merciful incarnation of the Archivigraha deity of the Lord, who has also come here before us today. So in the purport, about four lines down, Prabhupada says, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, superficially, two things were going on. Demons were being killed and devotee Arjuna was being protected. However, the results were the same for everyone. Thus it is said, the appearance of the Lord diminishes all kinds of miserable conditions caused by material existence. It is clearly stated in this verse, this form, Ashesha Klesha Sangshayam, is meant to diminish all miserable conditions experienced in life, not only by the devotees, but by all others. Avishkritam na klishtanam. The Prachetas identified themselves as common men. Kimanyad anukampitam. The devotees are always favorably accepted by the Lord. The Lord shows all mercy not only to conditioned souls, but also to the devotees who are already liberated due to their devotional service. So remember, Krishna is magnanimous to the devotees. But in Nectar Devotion it says, although Krishna is magnanimous to the devotees, Lord Chaitanya is magnanimous to the non-devotees. So therefore, we should go for the mercy of Gaur Nitai. Then again, in the third canto, 7th chapter, verse 13, there's a similar verse where Vidura says, Ashesha Sanklesha Samam Vitate Gunanuvara Shavanam Murare Kimva Punasta Chavanaravinda Paraga Seva Ratiratmalakya. Simply by chanting and hearing the name form personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, one can achieve cessation of unlimited miserable conditions. So what to speak of those who have attained attraction for serving the flavor of the dust of lotus feet? So this Prabhupada at the end of the purport explains how the Archa incarnation appears. It says this facility is offered to neophyte devotees so they can see the real form of the Lord face to face and offer their respectful obeisances and sacrifices in the form of Archa. So even though we may not be able to have the mercy the Prachetas got or Dhruva got, We can also just walk into the temple and have the same facility, Prabhupada says. Same facility, seeing the Lord face to face. Through such facilities, the neophytes gradually invoke their original Krishna consciousness. Deity worship in the form of temple worship is the most valuable benediction given by the Lord to beginners. All neophytes must therefore engage in worship of the Lord by keeping Archa Vigraha, Archa Avatar at home or in the temple. That is this purport. Hopefully. 3.7.14. It's a very similar in the Sanskrit, Ashesha Sanklesha. And here it says, Ashesha Klesha Sankshayam. There it says, Ashesha Sanklesha Shamam. Spoken by Vidura. There's another nice verse about the deities. Favorite of our Maharaj. I can't remember his name. Bhakti Madhava. Yes, Vishram Madhava. This is 3.25.36. Taradarshaniyava Yavayadudara Vilasaha Sekshita Vama Sukta Kritap Manohita Param Shabakti Anichato Megati Manvim Payumte. So this one. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, hearing His very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements. He becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. So, even though we are unwilling to go to Krishna, if we see the deity, He'll take us. Even though we're unwilling. 3.25.36. There's a couple of verses there. Does anybody have that experience? You see the deity and then you're just unwillingly, or just somehow Krishna just takes you away from all your problems when you see him. Have that experience. So Prabhupada says that even the third class devotees are liberated souls. This is the purport for that verse. Although they do not have knowledge, simply by seeing the beautiful decoration of the deity in the temple, devotee is absorbed in thought of him and loses all other consciousness. So this is, even the neophyte devotee can experience liberation, and he is liberated. I just want to give an example. Yes.
I have experience of
when
my parents one time visited me in the temple.
Your parents?
Yeah.
Oh. So your parents are very opposed to Krishna consciousness.
When they walked into the temple, which happened to be the Toronto
Temple. The Toronto Temple.
When they looked at the deities, my mother just, her whole being just changed. She said, oh, how beautiful.
Right. So she said, oh, how beautiful. Even though she can't stand Krishna consciousness and very against it. But when she saw the deity, she couldn't resist. Yeah. Yeah, my father, when he first went in the temple too, he offered obeisances even. He just saw the devotees doing it and he just did it too, just spontaneously. So it was quite interesting, the effect the deities have. So here's a story about a very wonderful deity. This is from Back to Godhead, January, February of this year. There's a deity in South India, Utsavamurti, the deity they take out in procession. In Melkote, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Melkote.
It's called Tiruchalava Narayan. Yes. So one time the Lord came to Ramanujacharya in a dream and informed him that this Utsavamurti had been stolen by the Muslims and it's now in Delhi. So Ramanujacharya went to Delhi with his disciples and met the Sultan who had plundered temples in South India and requested him, could you please return the deity. So then the Sultan showed many, many deities, so many deities, hundreds of deities, which he had. So he said, okay, which one? So Ramanuja said, no, none of these. So then the Sultan said, okay, your deity is in my daughter's room, in her harem. So if you want your deity, you have to call him to come to you. So then Ramanujacharya, he sang a very sweet song, and he was calling the deity, please come, my dear child. So then The deity came as a beautiful boy and sat on his lap. And Ramanuja embraced the divine child with great affection and called him Sampat Kumar, youthful lord, brought him back to Melukote. But the princess was very attached to the deity, so she couldn't bear separation. So when Ramanuja took the deity, she followed. And her father sent armies with her to protect her. But then when they came to one kingdom, the army couldn't go any further because it was a very strong king. So then the princess went on alone, following the deity. Finally, she came to Melukote, but the disciples of Ramanuja wouldn't let her in the temple because she's a Muslim. So when Ramanuja found out, he said, no, you let her in the temple. So she walked into the temple, she walked up to the deity, and she merged into the deity. So then, ever since then, Ramanuja installed a deity of her called Bibi Nachiyar at the feet of Tiruchelava Narayan, and every offering made in the temple is done through her. So that's a story of one deity in South India. This is Tiruchelava Narayan. You can see this deity at Melukote, South India. So this is the power of devotion to the deity. The deity is, and the deity transformed into a beautiful young boy. So these deities are actually here. It's Krishna come before us face to face, and we can have that relationship with him if we so desire. So verse 28, now they are praying to the Lord's form as Archa, Avatar. Itavatam hi vipupir vabhyam dineshu vatsalaya danus marite kale sabodhya bhajavandana. Dear Lord, you are the killer of all inauspicious things. You are compassionate upon your poor devotees through the expansion of your Archa Vigraha. You should certainly think of us as your eternal servants. So first they said they're conditioned souls, and now they're saying we are your neophyte devotees. So they're begging for mercy of the Lord. In the purport, Prabhupada tells why even the neophyte gets liberated. The form of the Lord, known as Archa Vigraha, is an expansion of his unlimited potencies. When the Lord is gradually satisfied with his service of a devotee, in due course of time, he accepts the devotee as one of his many unalloyed servants. By nature, the Lord is very compassionate. Therefore, the service of neophyte devotees is accepted by the Lord. So in case you're wondering if the Lord is accepting your service, here it's Prabhupada saying the Lord is very compassionate, and he's accepting. Purport to 28. Is it, or is it? No, it's not. Oh, yeah, sorry. I read the wrong verse. No, I didn't. Oh, yeah, 28. Okay, I just turned the page. Yeah, purport to 28. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhakya payachiti taraham bhat paritam mishnami payatatmanaha. If one offers with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept. So then, the Lord, being bhakta vatsala, compassionate upon his devotees, accepts these offerings. Atheists may think the devotees are engaged in idol worship, but the fact is different. Janardhan, the Supreme Lord, accepts bhava, the attitude of service. The neophyte devotee engaged in the worship of the Lord may not understand the value of such worship, but the Supreme Lord, being bhakta vatsala, accepts his devotee and in due course of time takes him home. So then at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, thus it is the duty of every sincere devotee to accept the Archivigra at home or in the temple and worship the form of the Lord as advised and authorized scriptures and directed by the spiritual master. So this is Bhava Grahi Janardana. The Lord accepts the bhava. Srila Prabhupada was also like that. He would accept the bhava of our worship. Sometimes we would mispronounce the Sanskrit, and not sometimes, almost every time, we would mispronounce the Sanskrit, like in Sri Guru Charana Padma in the beginning. They were saying instead of Guru, Goru, which means cow. So Prabhupada says, you have called me a cow, but I don't mind, because I know you mean well, and I accept your sincerity. So anyway, these things, one time, actually, even an insignificant service, Srila Prabhupada would appreciate also, because he would accept the attitude. I think I told this story once already, but anyway, I'll tell again, very short. Prabhupada was living in Bombay at Mr. Sethi's house, which was still under construction. And he was sitting upstairs at a table, with Mr. Sethi, the owner, when a very poor worker walked in, and he was just dressed in a gamsa. And he took some flowers, put them on the table in front of Srila Prabhupada, offered obeisances, and walked out. And Prabhupada was very touched by this simple gesture of devotion. And he talked to Mr. Sethi about it. So one devotee was there, and he was remembering this, how Srila Prabhupada was so appreciative of even a small service. So verse 29. So this is Dina Vatsala, compassionate to poor devotees, and Abhadra Randana, killer of all inauspiciousness. Verse 29. Hino pishanti bhutanam shulakanam apihatam antarhitam tarhidaye kasmina vidana shisha. When the Lord, out of his natural compassion, thinks of his devotee, by that process only are all desires of the neophyte devotee fulfilled. The Lord is situated in every living entity's heart, although the living entity may be very insignificant. The Lord knows everything about the living entity, including all his desires. Although we are very insignificant, why should the Lord not know our desires? So very humble mood here. We are conditioned souls. You're merciful. We're so insignificant. You know our desires. So please, therefore, be merciful to us. This is the mood of the Prachetas. So Prabhupada is a very nice purport. A very advanced devotee does not think himself advanced. He's always very humble. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his plenary expansion as Paramatma or Supersoul sits in everyone's heart and can understand the attitudes and desires of his devotees. The Lord also gives opportunity to non-devotees to fulfill their desires. It's confirmed in Gita, Mata Smriti Gyanam Apohanam Cha. Whatever a living entity desires, however insignificant he may be, is noted by the Lord, who gives him a chance to fulfill his desires. If the desires of non-devotees are fulfilled, why not those of the devotee? Do we sometimes doubt if he's going to fulfill our desires? So Prabhupada says, don't doubt, don't worry. A pure devotee simply wants to engage in the service of the Lord without material desire. And if he wants this within the core of his heart, where the Lord is situated, and if he is without material motive, why should the Lord not understand? If a sincere devotee render service to the Lord or to the Archivigraha, the form of the Lord, all his activities prove successful because the Lord is present within his heart and understands his sincerity. Thus, if a devotee with all confidence goes on discharging the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will ultimately attain success. So when I was in Mayapur this year, I experienced an example of somebody who got all their desires, got his desire fulfilled, pure desire in this sense, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining to us. There was one boy, 16 years old, his name is Abhay, and he was in Gurukul. So he was in the Gurukul way off in the jungle, and they have deity worship in that Gurukul. There's this huge, huge, huge hut, and they have these Nisringa deities and different Shilas. And he had such a strong desire to worship the deity, but they wouldn't allow him to worship because he was just a new student and he hadn't got the proper sangskar initiation or whatever they give to their students. So everybody else got to worship the deity except him. So he was feeling very bad. But he had this very strong desire to worship the deity. So then what happened, one day a huge storm came in Mayapur. I was there in that storm. You were there? You were there? Which hut? In that hut? So anyway, he was there. There was this huge... You were in that hut, the big one. And it collapsed. The huge wind came and blew the biggest hut of all, the deity hut. It blew it down, completely collapsed. And here we have a survivor from the Madhavendrapuri Prabhu. And that boy was also there inside the hut too. And so then what happened, it was all dark, darkness, and nobody really got hurt, I think. It was just maybe... that one brahmachari, Preeti, a little bit, but not seriously. So it's huge, huge bamboos and huge hut, but nobody got hurt. And so then they told this boy, okay, you have to go find all the deities and bring them to us. So he was so happy because he had the torch and he was collecting all the, they wouldn't let him touch the deities before, but now he got all the deities and he was carrying them and rescuing the deities. In Mayapur, this huge hut collapsed in the that's where the deities were. Well, they didn't know it was going to collapse. There was a collapsed hut, so the boy had to find the deities that were under, in the collapsed hut, yeah. The hut collapsed, huge hut. There was a really big, I know some of my windows were broken in Mayapur when that happened. A lot of windows. It was really tall. Not as tall. Well, I noticed, I went for darshan in that hut for those deities, and I looked at the top and I saw that it was all eaten by termites, the top of the bamboos. I noticed that. Yeah, and it's up high. It was up high on it was on high ground, and the wind just whipped it, knocked it over. None of the other huts got knocked, but that one, it was the tallest. So anyway, this boy, he got his desire, that he got to touch all the deities and rescue them from this. So any desire we have, if it's sincere, it will be fulfilled. So here, it's talking about the advanced devotee, does not think himself advanced. So Prabhupada said the Mahabhagavat, he gives the example often of Krishnadas Kaviraj, that I'm lower than the worm in the stool, and I'm lower than Jagaya Madhai. So do you think he actually feels like that, or he's just like being for the conditioned souls, or he's just being humble, or does he actually, if you think so, he feels like that? Yes. That's what Prabhupada says. It says he's not speaking falsely. A Mahabhagavat feels like that I am the lowest. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said that. There's a nice lecture here, which I'm actually quoting from. It's Nectar Devotion, Bombay 73. But I don't have the date, so you'll have to search. Anyway, he said it. Radharani's also feeling like that. Radharani's thinking, oh, everyone else is more qualified than me to serve Krishna. So therefore, someone comes, therefore, the devotees in Vrindavan know that. So they go to Radharani, and they say, you please recommend me to Krishna. Give me your recommendation. So Prabhupada says, if Radharani is pleased, then she represents the devotee's case. Here's a devotee better than me. You please accept him in your service. So this is the feeling of the advanced devotees. So we'll just read the final verses. Verse 30. Asave bhavarosmakam ipsito jagatapate pasana bhagavan yesham apavarga guru gati. O Lord of the universe, you are the actual teacher of the science of devotional service. We are satisfied that your lordship is the ultimate goal of our lives, and we pray that you will be satisfied with us. That is our benediction. We do not desire anything other than your full satisfaction. So this is the first thing they ask for. It's not going to be the only thing they ask for. First thing they ask for is, Prasanna Bhagavan, be satisfied with us, please, O Lord. Just your satisfaction, that is our benediction. So this was their request. 31. Dear Lord, we shall therefore pray for your benediction because you are the supreme beyond all transcendence and because there is no end to your opulences. Consequently, you are celebrated by the name Ananta. So first Prabhupada says, there was no need for Prachetas to ask any benediction from the Supreme Lord because the devotees are simply satisfied by the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then again, they decided they will ask for a benediction. So what is the significance of this word Ananta here in this verse in regard to benedictions? Anybody catch that? Actually, Prabhupada in the purport explains in paragraph 2, the Lord asked the Prachetas to pray for some benediction. They said, what kind of benediction should we pray for? The Lord is unlimited. There are unlimited benedictions. So Prabhupada says, the purport is, if one must ask for benediction, he must ask for unlimited benediction. So that's the word Ananta. They're saying Ananta because they're going to ask for unlimited benediction. So that's smart because the Lord's unlimited. So therefore, we should ask for unlimited benediction. And what is the unlimited benediction that they're going to ask for? Of course, we don't know yet, but in the purport, Prabhupada gives us a hint. What's unlimited benediction? It's not on the board, you can't find it. Only Ananda. What is this unlimited? So if you read in the paragraph, last paragraph, as will be explained in the next verses, Prachetas plan to ask the Lord for something that has no limit. The Lord's pastimes, qualities, forms, and names are all unlimited. So that should help you figure out. There is no limit to his name, form, pastimes, creation, and paraphernalia. The living entity cannot conceive of the unlimitedness of the unlimited. However, if living entities are engaged in hearing about the unlimited potencies of the Supreme Lord, they are factually connected directly to the unlimited. Such understanding of the unlimited becomes unlimited by hearing and chanting. So how many times did Prabhupada use the word unlimited? And that. So what's the unlimited benediction that is described here?
Hearing
about the Lord. So to get this unlimited benediction of hearing, you need unlimited ears, just like Prithu Maharaj prayed for. So there is a line here in fourth canto, unlimited ears, unlimited benedictions, and the unlimited benediction is to hear. 32. Unfortunately, ours is limited to 4 months. Of course, you can go on after that. Verse 32. Parijatenja salabte saranganyanna sevate charangi mulamasadya saksha kim kim vinimahi. Dear Lord, when the bee approaches the celestial tree called the Parijat, it certainly does not leave the tree because there is no need for such action. Similarly, we have approached your lotus feet and taken shelter of them. What further benediction may be asked of you? So Prabhupada says, when a devotee is actually engaged in service of the lotus feet of the Lord, his engagement itself is so perfect, there is no need to ask for further benediction. When a bee approaches a Parijata tree, it gets unlimited supplies of honey. There is no need to go to another tree. If one is fixed in the service of lotus feet of the Lord, there is unlimited transcendental bliss, and as such, there is no need to ask for further benediction. So at the end of the purport, the lotus feet of the Lord are exactly like the Parijata trees, or wish-fulfilling trees, and the devotees are like bumblebees. They are always attracted by the lotus feet of the Lord. And there is a mark of the lotus in the lotus feet of the Lord also. So we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Today's verses. Yes. And they said. Where does he say that? Well, let's look back yesterday's verses. Anybody find that? The Lord told them to ask, pray for some benediction. Okay. Yes, he said, I'm pleased. Verse 8. I am so pleased with your mutual friendship. I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction of me. Verse 8. Varam is benediction in Sanskrit. You can ask something because I'm pleased with your friendship with each other. We were discussing that yesterday, the quality of unity. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Sankirtan Das. So the six Goswamis, they get the deity and they just worship. They find it, or it appears, or it's self-manifested. Sanatan Godhis, was it in salt? The deity was under a stone. Dig. And he talks to him, and
then he hands it over.
So, what is your question?
Yeah, so we have two sets of devotees. One is the advanced.
One's the advanced. One's the neophyte. Right. So then, is it a comment or question?
No,
or?
I'm just thinking that's in our.
Okay, so your question, you're just saying it seems to be a different practice between the sadhana devotee and the realized raga devotee.
For us,
right, the pure devotee.
That you get that
right.
Worship,
deity without the realization.
So worship of the deity without realization.
It's not perfect.
Even though it's imperfect, though, Prabhupada says he accepts it. He accepts the worship.
You lead to that realization.
Of course.
It's more the internal, the factual. Because when we look at Purajan, it's what's in our mind.
Right. Bhava, and also here, Bhava Grahi Janardana. So when Prabhupada was here, we were all neophytes. But he encouraged us, saying that Krishna is accepting our worship, and he glorified our worship many, many times, saying that it was very nice worship. And I remember when he went to Australia, first he was worried. He was saying, I'm giving the deity to the Mlechas or something like that, so I hope they will take care, or you have to take care of yourself, I think he said to Krishna. Oh, you have to instruct them how to look after you. So yes, he did say that. Yes. Anyway, hopefully, according to Nectar of Devotion, by doing the sadhana bhakti, it will lead to that advanced stage. Yes. Okay. So, patita pavana hetu tava avatara. So, moshama patita prabhu napai veara. So you're seeing a similarity between these prayers of the Prachetas and the prayers of Narottam to the Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, it seems that way in the last few verses from 27 to 29, that they're begging for the mercy, conditioned souls. You're a friend of the most fallen, Dineshu Vatsala, Dina Vatsala, friend of the fallen. Okay, any other questions or comments? More questions? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.